We're holding in Tes Zayin of Siman Kuf Tzadik Dal Alach Yud Beis. We're going to Siman Kuf Tzadik He Alach Ches. So we're continuing with the laws of a Niftar, someone that died. Alach is one is not allowed to move. And Mason Shabbos, we learned this in Hilchos Mukta. We discussed that this was the first Mukta Shaila that Shlomo Melech had regarding his own father, David HaMelech. This is true even for the benefit of Kehanim that need to walk into a house or a Tzorech Mitzvah. If they need, but if they use a non-Jew, Akum, they're allowed to do so. And that's if the Krovim, if the relatives needed, wanted to have a request. We also discuss how to move a Mason on Shabbos by using a piece of bread and putting it on top of him or something else. Siman Kuf Tzadik He starts the laws of Kriya. So the halacha is if someone loses a relative, a direct relative, so then that means father, mother, son, daughter, a sister, a spouse, and a brother. So the halacha is when it comes to Kriya, it has to be done standing. And if a person does the Kriya Meyushav, sitting, the person has not fulfilled the obligation. In the Chatchila, a person has to make sure that they do the Kriya before they are Seisim Pnei HaMesbeker, which means before they seal the actual mace inside the grave. And that is really based on a concept of Chimum Tzaru, which means that a person's feeling. So really, sometimes they make a mistake. I don't know, they do the Kriya afterwards, after the entire burial. At that point, there's already a certain level of comfort. But really, it's at the time of chimum. The next halacha is on mesim, that a person is misabel. A person has to, that means any one of the relatives, a person has to do the kriya, the vesat savar. What does that mean? By the neck area of the shirt, not starting in the middle of the shirt. And a person has to basically start from top and be megale, literally tear all the way to the heart. So again, these are the seven relatives, but the halacha is to go from top to bottom, not width to the width, meaning from left to right. And a person has to do the kriya where the beggar, the garment is complete, meaning it's not in the area of the seam. That's not really doing kriya. So the only way to do it today with our shirts usually is that you have to start it with the scissors or something. Now there's a major distinction regarding the kriya that a person does when it comes to a father and a mother, versus the kriya on other relatives. So all relatives, we say that the kriya has to be done a tefach. That means that you have to do at least around 4 inches, and that's on the upper garment, and that's it. You don't have to do other layers. Why? And in fact, if a person does, it's a din about tashkus. When it comes to a father and a mother, a person has to tear all the clothing until he reaches his heart. And that does not really include the ksenas, meaning the undershirt. It also, according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, does not include mantle. What's a mantle? It's a like a coat, a raincoat of some sort, that a person doesn't always wear when he goes out. So there's a whole discussion about today's jackets, if you wear like a jacket. But if it's something that you usually wear, that should be torn too, and that's usually the custom. If a person does not do the kriya properly, meaning all the clothing, so then they have not fulfilled the obligation. A woman, because of modesty, should only, what she should do is she should do tear the lower garment first, switch it around, and then tear the upper one. Now, this is not so always feasible. In fact, I saw Mot Chaliyah says that the minhag is by, I think it was also in Baghdad, and Babylon, for women not to do kriya, probably because it was difficult to do it in a modest way. The custom is, it's a custom, to do the kriya when it comes to other relatives on the right, and for our father and the mother on the left. And the reason is based on the idea that you're revealing the heart on the left side, but the evid, it's not ma'akas. So people have to know that if they didn't do so, it's okay. Or mesim, the kriya could be done even with a utensil. But when it comes to father and the mother, it has to be done specifically with the hand. The minhag is that the one of the Chevra Kadisha starts the cutting, like I said, with the knife, and the other then himself takes it and tears the rest until he reaches the heart area. And a person, again, has to be careful. That should be the lengthwise, not width. Or mesim, if a person would change his clothing during the Shiva, he does not have to tear those that he's wearing now. But when it comes to father and the mother, if he's changing the clothing during the week of Shiva, a person has to tear the clothing again. And even for Kavod Shabbos, a person should change his clothing and he should not wear a torn clothing. But according to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he does not wear Shabbos clothing. Now, this is a debate, meaning there's a machlokes apreskim. We have the same thing when it comes to the 9 days of Shabbos Chazon. And the same thing when it comes to Nava, the minhag today is to wear Shabbos clothing, just not the chashav of Shabbos clothing and not freshly laundered clothing, because freshly laundered clothing is also something that's not permitted. And the last halacha for today, all may seem, that means for all relatives, a person mitzad din halachically could do what's called shayla. Shayla means an uneven stitch after shiva. And me'ache, interesting lashon by the way, the word ach means brother. Brotherhood is to put together fully the garment in an even stitch. That is done after shleishim. But when it comes to father and the mother, only shayla is done after shleishim. But ichui, which means to do a proper stitch, one never does when it comes to this garment. It's like something that, so to speak, that this separation stays forever until maybe the next world. Now, when it comes to, so even cutting around the, putting in another piece of cloth and trying to stitch that up to with torn also is not permitted. And yet, even though this is halacha, the custom is that even for other meisim, within 30, we do not do shlila. After shloshim, they do shlila. Also, one's not even allowed to attach the different ends of the tear using like a type of pin, like a safety pin. The exception is a wife, because of modesty, as we said, even for our father and the mother, when she tears, you could actually do shlila, which means uneven stitches right away. All tears that one is not allowed to stitch, even if he sold the garment to someone else, the buyer is not allowed to stitch it up. There must be something in the beged itself that keeps that, so to speak, I don't know, that separation that a person is supposed to have in mind and keep with them until Yemaisa Mashiach, when you have Tchias HaMeisim, perhaps. I'm not so clear. If anyone has a good shot, let me know. Because then the Kitzur also goes on to say that even if the person sold to a buyer, he has to tell him. And not only that, if you sell to a non-Jew, you're not even allowed to sell to a non-Jew. Why? Because we're worried that the non-Jew is going to actually stitch it up. This is so interesting. Who cares if the non-Jew is going to stitch it up? It must be that this beged has to be kept forever unstitched. So if someone has a better shot than this, please let me know.